Mikey Jin's Old Time Radio. We have a cracker of a show for you tonight, gals and gents. Wash your black heads, grab a seat, and enjoy this sexy episode of Box 13, entitled Blackmail is Murder.
Box 13, with the star of Paramount Pictures, Alan Ladd, as Dan Holliday.
Box 13, Box 13, Box 13, Box 13, Box 13.
Copy, boy.
Hiya, Mr. Holliday.
What do you say?
Where's that society page, please?
Hiya, Holliday.
Hiya.
Jerk the first paragraph in that Simmons story.
Hiya, Dan.
How are you? Hiya, Susie.
Hiya, Mr. Holliday.
What's in Box 13?
You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. Now for Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Well, here I am again, standing at the want ad counter of the Star Times, looking for what? An idea for a story. I could have stayed here as a reporter. I could have been searching for facts. Instead, I'm fumbling for fiction. Instead of a blonde, I'm meeting a deadline. Instead of Chanel number 5, I'm heading for a sniff of printer's ink. Holliday, you're a dope.
Mr. Holliday.
What's that, Susie?
I said there's a letter in Box 13 for you. It's special.
Special?
Special delivery. It was mailed only a couple of hours ago. Something like that could be important.
Could be.
Could be adventure.
Could be.
Could be a girl.
Could be. By the way, Susie, how come you're working so late this evening?
Oh, my boss asked me to. He's paying me overtime. Time and three quarters.
Time and three quarters?
Mm-hmm. I held out for double time when he offered me time and a half.
Well, what happened?
Oh, we effected a compromise.
Goodbye, Susie. Special delivery, huh? Well, this could be very important. Also, it couldn't. Well, come on, open it up, Holliday. You haven't got all night. I'm in terrible trouble. Please come to room 718 at the Bradford Hotel. Hurry. Signed, Agatha Marsh. That sounds urgent.
Who are you, young man? What do you want?
I'm the man from Box 13. I'm looking for Agatha Marsh.
I'm Agatha Marsh. Come in, come in.
You're Agatha Marsh?
Well, don't stand there with your mouth open. Never can tell who might be snooping around the hall. Find a chair and sit down. Now, what's your name?
Dan Holliday.
Well, Mr. Holliday, I don't believe in drinking or I'd offer you one, but I have got some sauerkraut juice in my thermos bottle.
No, thanks just the same.
I like you, Mr. Holliday. I liked your ad in the paper. Adventure wanted. We'll go any place, do anything. It was just what I needed.
Well, thanks again.
Now then, what's your charge?
Charge?
For helping me, your fee.
Oh, that. No charge, Miss Marsh.
Are you trying to be chivalrous?
No, you see, I'm a writer. I'm looking for ideas. If I get a good idea, I consider I've been well paid.
Well, that seems a little silly.
Might I ask just what your trouble is?
Oh, you don't think a girl my age could get into trouble, do you?
Well, you look like a very charming old... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, lady, let's not beat around the bush. Now, no doubt you want to know a few things about me.
Well, that would be very interesting.
Yes, well, I live in Muncie, Indiana, alone. I've got a big house and an independent income. Every year I go someplace for a vacation, and this year I came here.
Is that all?
Isn't that enough?
But the letter you wrote me, you said you were in terrible trouble.
Well, I am. If anyone ever finds out about this, I don't know what'll happen.
Finds out about what?
Come over here to the closet. I want to show you something. Look. On the floor.
Why, that's a dead man lying there. Well, this would make a good opening chapter for a story. Young man goes to help charming old lady who is in terrible trouble. Terrible trouble turns out to be a corpse. Corpse? Hey, wake up, Holiday. This is the real thing.
Now do you believe me, young man?
When did you find him?
Just before I wrote you that letter.
Before you wrote the letter? Well, that's hours ago.
I know, but what could I do?
What could you do? Miss Marsh, you could call the police.
And get my name in the papers? Have all the folks back in Muncie know there was a dead man in my room? Oh, no.
Miss Marsh, listen to me, please. There's a dead man in that closet. There's a law about dead men. We have to notify the police immediately. You can go to jail for hiding a body.
Oh, fiddlesticks.
But, Miss Marsh, look at this man. He's been shot at close range. There are powder burns on his coat.
I know. I examined him before I wrote you. You see, I read all the current detective stories.
Detective stories? This isn't a story. This is the real thing.
I know. Why don't you try to prove that I did it?
With what? A cap pistol? Now, you're a nice person, Miss Marsh, but this is going to be tough.
Well, don't get so excited. A girl my age could kill a man if she wanted to. Rub him out, as they say in the murder mysteries.
Please, Miss Marsh, be sensible. You've got a murdered man in your closet. Now pick up that phone and call the police right away.
Mr. Holiday, in all seriousness, I can't do it. Think of what my lifelong friends would say.
Yes, I know it doesn't look good.
I can see the headlines now. Prominent Muncie pioneer woman found with dead body in hotel. Oh, please, Mr. Holiday, help me.
Well, I don't know. This is a little out of my department.
Just this once, Mr. Holiday. I've never asked for help before. I'm an old woman.
Well, all right. What do you want me to do?
I want you to help me get rid of the body.
Get rid of the body? Now, look, Miss Marsh, you're not serious. You didn't mean that.
No, you don't know me. I fully intend to get rid of that body.
Okay, go right ahead. It's your corpse.
And you're going to help me.
No, I'm sorry. Try a bellhop.
And have him snitch to the desk clerk. Besides, you advertised for adventure.
But this isn't adventure. It's a nightmare. Come on, Miss Marsh. Let me notify the police.
Now, there's a broom closet down the hall.
That's very interesting. I just remember, I'm meeting someone in the lobby.
I'd take the body there myself, but I'm not strong enough.
Goodbye, Miss Marsh.
I'll scream.
Go right ahead.
The hotel detective will show up.
Just a man I'd love to see.
And I'll tell him you kill that man.
Oh.
Now, would you help me?
Suppose we get caught.
Then you'll help me.
Now, wait a minute.
You said we. Now, I'll open the door and watch the hall. Case the joint, as they say in the mysteries. And then you whisk the body into the closet. You're strong. You can do it.
Oh, sure. I'm strong, all right. But not in the head. Oh, this can't be happening to you, Holiday. You can't be dragging a body down the hall of the Bradford Hotel. You know better. And as soon as you can get away from this charming but cracked old gal, you're going to talk to the police.
Harry. I'll open the closet door. Put him in right there. Stick him in good. Here we are.
I must be crazy.
Now back into my room before anybody sees us. There. Wasn't that easy?
Easy, she says.
Well, I must say you carry out your part very well.
What's next in this little scheme of yours, Miss Marsh?
Why, don't you know? We have to find out who killed that Michael O'Brien.
You know who he is?
Well, I do now. I went through his pockets. Frisked him, as they say in the stories.
Well, that cuts it. You stay here. I'm going downstairs. Who's that?
Just keep cool. I'll handle everything.
Oh, I can't believe this. It just can't happen.
My name is Kling, Lieutenant, Homicide Bureau.
Oh, come in. Come in, won't you?
I intend to. Holiday, what are you doing here?
Hello, Lieutenant.
Oh, do you two know each other?
Never mind the social chatter. I thought this was some kind of a gag. Now I'm sure of it. Holiday, just what are you trying to dream up?
If I told you, Kling, you'd never believe me.
Sit down, Lieutenant. Can I get you some sauerkraut juice?
Well, I don't mind if... some what?
Sauerkraut juice.
No, thanks. Now listen, somebody, some crackpot phoned in a tip that there was a dead man in this room.
Why, Lieutenant, how can you say such things?
Lieutenant, now listen.
You'll be quiet. Miss Marsh, mind if I have a look around?
Not at all, not at all. Here's the closet. Now then, you can see for yourself, Lieutenant, there's nobody there.
I got your name from the desk clerk, Miss Marsh. Maybe you better tell me about yourself.
I can tell you all about it.
I was talking to Miss Marsh. Are you Miss Marsh?
Right now, I think I'm dead.
You will be if you keep interrupting. Go ahead, Miss Marsh. Tell me about yourself.
Certainly. I live in Muncie, Indiana. I arrived this morning for a 2-week vacation. I'm well known back there, and you can find out everything about me if you care to wire.
How did you happen to meet Mr. Holliday here?
Look, Lieutenant, if you'll permit me to tell you...
I'm asking the lady.
I went to school with his mother. That's what I did.
Huh? See. Well, I guess it was the work of some would-be comic. But I had to investigate it just the same.
Well, of course you do.
Oh, but Kling, listen.
Goodbye, Miss Marsh. So long, Holliday.
But Kling, wait, I want to go with you.
Why don't you two have a fast game of hearts?
Mr. Holliday, wasn't that thrilling? Just like in the magazines.
Miss Marsh, you're going to stay in this room until I get Kling back here.
Oh, no, no, no. I want to solve this case myself.
I wonder how Kling found out that... Miss Marsh.
Yes.
I'm not the suspicious type, you understand, but a little bird, a tiny little bird, has intimated that perhaps you might know who tipped off the lieutenant.
Of course I know. It was I.
What in the world are you doing?
I made the call from the corner drugstore a little while ago. I wanted to throw the lieutenant off the trail, like they say.
You know what I say?
No, what?
You're going down to police headquarters and tell the truth.
Oh, just a second. Excuse me, please. Yes? Yes, this is Miss Marsh. Oh, you did? I thought so. Yeah, should have had 817 instead of this room. Oh, no, don't bother. I like it here. I knew it. I knew it all the time.
What did you know?
That was the room clerk. He got my reservation mixed up. I was supposed to get 817, and I got 718 instead.
You mean the person who killed Michael O'Brien wanted to get back in here to remove the body? No, no, it doesn't sound reasonable.
No, it doesn't. Well, guess who was supposed to get this room?
Never mind. We're going to police headquarters.
It was Tony Bascari.
Tony Bascari. He's the biggest racketeer in town. He's dynamite. Miss Marsh, he's deadly.
I know, Mr. Holliday, and I love it.
Oh, no, no.
You are listening to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday. Now back to Box 13, starring Alan Ladd as Dan Holliday.
Two o'clock in the morning and I can't go to sleep. Oh, that little old girl has me worried to death. She wouldn't go to the police headquarters, and when I went down and talked to Kling, he acted as though it were a big joke and sent me on my way. Hello.
This is Agatha Marsh.
Now what? Where are you?
At the hotel. I went up to see Tony Bascari.
You what? Miss Marsh, don't you know that's the worst thing you could have done?
I had to talk with him. I put the heat on him, as they say in the murder mysteries.
And you're still alive?
I accused him of killing that O'Brien man. I came right out with it. But of course, he wouldn't admit a thing.
What'd you expect him to do, break down and confess?
Well, I think I've got him on the run, but I'm worried.
Oh, if I had Tony Bascari on the run, I'd be worried, too.
Because when I came back, I discovered someone had searched my room.
Will you call the police? You should have done it a long time ago.
Oh, no, 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 I couldn't. I want you to come over right away.
At 2 a.m?
Mr. Holliday, someone's trying my door.
Hang up quick. Call the room clerk.
But, Mr. Holliday, I'd...
Hurry, I said. The dear little meddlesome old fool. In your clothes, Holiday, because here we go again, and don't forget your Boy Scout badge. You'll make the Beaver Patrol tonight. The clerk said she hadn't called the desk. I wonder... No, she would have screamed. Someone would have heard her. It's open. Cleaned out completely. No Miss Marsh, no clothes, no nothing. Not even a piece of notepaper. Hey, what's this? Paper airplane. Like the ones I used to make in school. But why should she be making paper airplanes? Airplanes. The airport, that's where they took her. Keep that motor running, I'll be right back. Not many people around this hour of the night. Oh, there she is. And the man with her has his hand in his pocket, and I don't think it's there because it's cold. What I need now is a little fast talk and a little faster action. Okay, I'll take over from here.
Who are you? What are you talking about?
The old doll. Bess Carey wants her back.
Bess Carey told me to put her on a plane. I'm doing it.
Yeah? Changed his mind. He wants her back.
I don't think so. Besides, I never saw you before.
I told you, if you don't turn her over, Bess Carey might get sore.
When he called me?
It's only a half hour ago.
I was still at the hotel. He could have called...
And spilled everything over her phone? You nuts?
This don't sound right.
Eh, forget it. I'm taking the old doll back with me.
Wait a minute. I'm gonna call Tony first.
Go ahead, stupid. Get your ears burned off.
Who are you calling stupid? Show me something that'll prove Tony sent you.
Got a match?
Stop stalling. This is a gun in my pocket. Let's talk to Tony.
Yeah, I've got some matches here.
Thanks.
Here.
Oh!
Get him, Mr. Holiday, quick. I'm coming. Oh, not so fast. Oh, I'm not as young as I used to be.
You should have remembered that before you got mixed up in this. Come on, get in.
Would you push?
Driver, get out of here fast. What did you do to that guy anyway?
I stuck him with my hatpin.
I might have guessed it. Now, Miss Marsh, what happened at the hotel?
Well, I hung up when I heard him trying the door, but I was too late. The door was unlocked.
So it was Tony Bascari, huh? He wanted you out of town fast.
Oh, but they were very nice to me.
You can thank your lucky stars for that. Usually, Bascari's enemies wind up in some ditch.
I didn't see him again. That man, the one you knocked out at the airport, he was the one who came in my room.
Well, you must have the goods on Bascari. You must have killed this man or had him killed. But why didn't he take him out of the hotel right away?
But there was a convention there last night. The whole place was literally crawling with people.
Oh, that's the reason. Oh, that paper airplane. That was fast thinking, Miss Marsh.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, now we can go back to Bascari. We've got the goods on him. We can crack the case like they say in the murder mysteries.
Miss Marsh, I've got news for you. We're not going to see Bascari.
We're not? Well, where are we going?
You'll hate me, I know, but it's the police station. Well, Holiday, what happens now? You've taken Miss Marsh to Kling's office. She looks at him. He nods her into his private office. And suddenly she comes out smiling. You try to leave, only Kling stops you.
You stay here, Holiday.
Kling, you can't let her walk the streets alone. Bascari will get her.
Forget it. I got a man tailing her.
Okay, but what happened in that office? What did she tell you?
Plenty, my friend. She preferred charges against you.
She preferred charges against me? Now, what are you talking about?
Kidnapping.
I kidnapped her?
You took her off the plane by force, didn't you?
Listen, Kling, that little old lady is a whodunit happy. She'll get herself killed. There really was a body in the hotel, you know.
Look, Holiday, do you know what you're saying?
Sure I know what I'm saying. There really was a body in that hotel.
Holiday, why didn't you tell me?
I tried to, twice. Once in the room and the last time when I came in here.
Now think, Holiday, carefully. Where is the body?
In a broom closet down the hall. I put it there.
You put it there?
Yes, I put it there.
Holiday, get out of here.
Well, Holiday, now you're fixed. Even Kling looked at you like those things in your belfry weren't bats. They're more like eagles. But you're in it now, so you've got to follow through. And that indicates a fast ride over to the Bradford Hotel. Oh, clerk. Hey, clerk.
Yes?
I'd like to find out who occupied Agatha Marsh's room the day before she did.
That question is highly irregular.
Oh? Then here's a $10 bill that's highly regular.
Oh, let me think. She has 718. She checked in day before yesterday.
Yes?
The man who had the room before that was a traveling salesman. In lady suits, I believe.
He must have cut quite a figure. She must be in this hotel someplace. Her room's empty, but she must be around. But where? What are you worrying about, Holiday? You couldn't wait to get rid of her. Now you can't wait to get her back. You're a character who belongs back in the Middle Ages with a tin union suit for cold nights. She'll probably show up safely with that detective tailing her. The broom closet. Wonder if the dead man is still in there. He must be. Kling hasn't showed up yet.
Oh, hello, Mr. Holiday.
Miss Marsh, what happened? How'd you get in that closet?
Isn't this thrilling?
No, it isn't.
There was a detective trailing me, but he was knocked unconscious. Sapped, as they say in the murder mysteries.
And you were brought up here?
By the same man who tried to put me on the plane. He hit the detective, put me in the car, and brought me here.
Well, you two, what are we playing now? And where is the man I put on you, Miss Marsh?
He was hit over the head, Lieutenant, but I'm sure he's all right now.
This the closet where you said the body was?
Was is right, Lieutenant.
Yeah, let me take a look. You know what I think, Holiday?
What?
I think both of you crackpots are making this all up. I don't believe there ever was a body.
Kling, you have my word for it.
Your word doesn't mean as much as a Chinese dollar.
Kling, listen. They brought her back here, locked her up. They took the body away, didn't they, Miss Marsh?
Probably going to sink it in cement, as they say in the murder mysteries.
Mascari's in his room, I'll bet. Go up and talk to him.
Surely, put the heat on him.
Just once more, I'll play with you kiddies. Come along.
Where?
Miss Marsh's room. I'm locking you pixies in till I get to the bottom of this.
Kling's been gone 15 minutes. I wonder what's happening up there.
Not much. I haven't heard any shooting.
No, that's... haven't heard any... In that case, how could a man be shot here and that shot not be heard?
Oh, it's very easy, Mr. Holiday. The killer would use this.
Well, Miss Marsh, now, where'd you get that gun?
Just took it out of the drawer. It was here all the time.
Well, put it down until Kling returns.
But I just want to show you why the shot wouldn't be heard.
What do you mean?
Would you excuse me, please? You see this bath towel, Mr. Holiday?
Yes, what about it?
Well, a smart person would take the gun like this, wrap the bath towel around it like this.
You know, Miss March, you found out a lot since you came here.
Oh, yes, I've done all right since early this morning.
Early this morning? But the clerk said...
I talked to Tony Biscari and he said...
Kling, look out! Here, Miss March, give me that thing.
You shouldn't have moved, Mr. Holiday. I was really shooting at you.
What's this all about, Holiday? What was she doing with that gun in her hand?
She was going to kill me, just like she killed Michael O'Brien.
That little old lady, killing somebody...
Miss March, you did kill him, didn't you? Then you called me, and you got Kling to come up here and catch me dragging the body away. Only he came a little late, as usual.
Now, wait a minute, Holiday.
Then when you couldn't pin it on me, you tried to hang it on Tony Biscari. Now, what did you do with the body?
Dragged it back to the closet in this room.
Oh. And I suppose you sapped the detective who followed you, too.
It was easy. I got him to turn around and hit him over the head with my purse.
Why did you kill Michael O'Brien? Did you have something against him?
No, I never saw him before.
Then why kill a perfect stranger?
I saw a play once. I liked those ladies in that play. They killed lots of people. I wanted to also. Only I should have done it like the ladies.
You don't mean arsenic and old lace.
Yes, and I should have worn the lace and given you the arsenic.
Well, Holiday, you're back in your apartment again. The sun is shining through the window, a sun you might never have seen again. You know, I've got an idea for you, Holiday. Give up this business and go into something quiet, like night watchman in a cemetery.
Holiday.
Well, what's that, Kling?
They examined the old girl down at the psychopathic ward of the city hospital. She's batty as a loon.
You're telling me. I saw that in her eyes when she wrapped the towel around that gun. But, what happened to Bascari and his stooge?
When she heard he was in the room above, she tried to pin the body on him.
Oh, so he tried to get her out of town in self-defense.
Holiday, you're a very lucky, lucky guy.
You can say that again and again.
And again.
Oh, just a minute.
Hello, Mr. Holiday.
Susie, what are you doing up here at my apartment? Why aren't you down at the Star Times?
Well, my boss and I have been talking about another compromise.
Another one?
He wants to fire me and I want to quit.
Oh, but Susie, if you left the paper, what would I do for my mail?
I was thinking, maybe you'd like to hire a good combination stenographer and secretary, huh?
That's you?
That's me.
Well, I don't know, Susie, but as they say in murder mysteries, I'll have to think it over.
You better think fast. Good help is hard to find.
Goodbye, Susie.
Next week, same time, Alan Ladd stars as Dan Holiday in Box 13. Alan Ladd appears through the courtesy of Paramount Pictures and may currently be seen in Wild Harvest. Box 13 is written and directed by Ted Hediger. Original music was composed and conducted by Rody Schrager. This is a Mayfair production.
Drunk kids in machines, fishes waving an angry fist. Welcome back to Ricky Jin's Old Time Radio. Now enjoy this episode of X-1, entitled Hello Tomorrow.
Countdown for blast off. X-5, 4, 3, 2, X-1, fire. From the far horizons of the unknown come transcribed tales of new dimensions in time and space. These are stories of the future, adventures in which you'll live in a million could-be years on 1,000 maybe worlds. The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with Street & Smith, publishers of astounding science fiction, presents
X-1.
Tonight's story, Hello Tomorrow. After the third atomic war, when the Earth was a mass of red radioactive dust, a handful of men and women went deep underground in the struggle for survival. A new civilization was built deep underground, a civilization which must keep a ceaseless vigil against the deadly gamma rays which filter down through the Earth. A civilization where the prime consideration is the genetic survival of the race. It is to this civilization in the year of our Lord, 4195, that we take you now.
Professor Lois Burton?
Yes?
I have a call from the Director of Emotional Stability for the Third Oblong. Go ahead, sir. Hello, darling.
Hello, dear. How is the Director of Emotional Stability? My, how impressive that sounds.
Don't joke, dear. You never know who may be listening.
Sorry. How are you? You sound tired.
Well, we've had some bad cases. Mostly frantic mothers who insist on imparting their feelings to children. I suspect it's chromosomes affected by gamma ray leakage from the surface, but the head of the psychotechnic division says they're glandular cases. But that isn't why I called. I have good news.
What is it?
The genetic board has approved our application for marriage.
So soon?
Our chromosomes tested perfect. We can marry any time we want. As a geneticist, you should know that our offspring should be 90 percentile of perfection.
I know.
What's the matter? You are happy about it, aren't you?
Of course. Terribly happy.
I'm coming right over to the lab.
You'll have to give me some time.
What's the trouble?
No trouble. You know that genetic survey I've been working on?
What about it?
Well, I've finally gotten permission to study an actual living case, a specimen of imperfect genetic transmission.
Really?
They're bringing him, or it, up from the condemned cages on the lower level.
You will be careful.
There's nothing to be afraid of. The specimen is XJ12. It's been studied before many times and is quite well trained. Oh, there's my door signal. I'll have to hang up, darling. See you later. Yes?
Professor Burton?
Yes.
I'm from the Phylogenic Institute.
Oh, you brought my specimen?
May I come in?
By all means. Oh, how...
Horrible? It all depends on your viewpoint. I happen to have a twisted leg. My parents were genetically unsound.
But then you...
Yes, I am specimen XJ12.
I see.
I hope you aren't shocked.
No stable person permits feelings to enter into his work. I will admit to surprise. I was expecting something a little more abnormal.
Well, I try to be as abnormal as possible. It pays off. The Phylogenic Institute allows me out of the genetic cages ever so often so I can breathe the pure air of the upper levels and mingle with the genetically perfect.
You seem quite well educated.
I spent the first years of my life here in the upper levels.
How is that possible?
As a small child, my mother concealed me from the director of heredity. My mother actually, dreadful word, loved me.
That would explain your obviously low threshold of emotional control.
If you choose to call it that. You seem to be struggling to repress a few feelings yourself.
We will confine ourselves to the impersonal aspects of our work.
As you please.
I shall require you as a demonstration for a lecture I'm delivering to one of my classes tomorrow.
At your service.
Sit here, please. Grip these electrodes tightly. I'm going to calibrate your electrochemical tension.
I'm quite familiar with the procedure. I realize that as an imperfect, I am expendable, but I should hate to be electrocuted.
The charge is not lethal. Plus 15 surface tension.
You know, you have beautiful hair.
Plus 12 at a depth of 4 centimeters. My hair meets minimal requirements for the genetic code.
Lovely blue eyes. Crystal clear.
Plus 10 at 7 centimeters.
Pretty. A perfect woman. Lovely expressive hand. And a heart of stone. Like all the rest of you. Perfect survival type.
Shut up!
Could it be you do have feelings?
I seem to sense an air of emotional tension.
It's nothing, dear. This is the specimen.
You, specimen. Tell this dolt who I am, Lois.
This is the Director of Emotional Stability for the Third Oblong. You will address him as Mr. Director.
Mr. Director.
This creature seems quite impertinent.
He's only a specimen, darling.
Well, use him and ship him back to the cages. He's probably radioactive.
Attention! Attention! The next demonstration will be conducted by Professor Lois Burton of the Institute of Genetics. Her topic... The probability of radioactive damage in the chromosome heredity of imperfect non-survival types. Professor Burton.
As you know, most imperfects are destroyed at birth. However, those who, for one reason or another, manage to survive are segregated in cages on the lower level for study purposes. The specimen we have today has been trained to tell in his own words about the factors in his upbringing. You will have to forgive his immature emotional control factor. He is, as you can see, quite different. Specimen XJ-12, you will proceed, please.
Thank you. My mother was a psychotechnician in the Fifth Oblong. My father was an historian specializing in the records of pre-atomic surface culture. In the earthquake of 2170, apparently some hard radiation filtered down through the tunnels and penetrated the Fifth Oblong. The effect on my hereditary factors is quite apparent in this twisted leg. My father taught me in the last days before he was executed that every human personality is born with certain inalienable natural rights. The rights to have feelings, the right to mature, and above all, the right to be different from every other living organism. Because it cannot be otherwise, I submit to you, distinguished students, that the attempt by this society to abridge these rights is a violation of nature. I submit that the imperfects, the mutants, those who are different, have as much right to exist and be free as you. And I say, break open the cages.
Stop him!
Give us back the right to be individuals.
Stop him! Perhaps that will teach you. Professor Burton, take this specimen back to your laboratory and confine him.
Hold still while I bandage your head.
Oh.
You'll be all right.
I suppose you detest me for getting you into trouble.
I don't detest you.
What?
I don't know why, but as you spoke, something began to stir in me.
Tell me what you feel. If I moved you, then I must have moved the others, some of them at least.
For some reason, I took pride in what you were doing, seeing you stand up against them. Why do you look at me like that?
I can't help it.
I wish you wouldn't. You're only an imperfect, you know. Please.
My name is Oren.
Please.
Say it. Oren.
Oren.
Again.
Oren.
Lois.
Oren.
Lois. Lois. Lois.
How touching.
Walter.
I've been listening for some time.
Walter, how could you?
In my capacity as Director of Emotional Stability, it is my duty.
What are you going to do?
Specimen XJ-12 will be disposed of quite systematically by the state. For the good of the state, for the good of the genetic code, and in the name of emotional stability.
Walter, I have to talk to you.
Go right ahead.
Walter, you mustn't destroy him.
The specimen? Why not?
He's emotionally unstable. You have to expect irrational behavior.
Aren't you forgetting something, my dear? That you were responding in much the same manner?
I...
Or had you forgotten? You see, I'm having him liquidated for your sake. He has an upsetting effect on you.
Then send him back to the cages. But don't kill him.
You speak of destroying an inferior creature as if it was something unethical.
Walter. Walter, please, for my sake.
I understand that you have entered a plea for postponement of marriage at the Records Bureau.
Yes. I was too upset to go through with it.
It came as a great disappointment to me.
I'm sorry.
I was hoping that, linked to a stable personality such as mine, you might settle down. If you were married to me, I might... even be persuaded to send him back to the cages instead of having him destroyed. Think it over.
If I refuse?
The choice is yours. Well, my dear?
Perhaps you're right.
I am.
I suppose I ought to be rational about this. After all, he's an imperfect...
I'm glad you've come to your senses.
When can we be married?
Tomorrow, if you like.
The sooner the better.
Let me talk to the custodian, please. Hello, this is the Director of Emotional Stability for the Third Oblong. I would like you to cancel the execution of specimen XJ-12. Turn him over to be remanded permanently to the genetic cages. You'd better go. I'll pick you up in, say, an hour, and we'll make plans. All right?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Hello. This is the Director of Emotional Stability again. I want you to cancel that last order. Proceed with the execution, but under conditions of absolute secrecy. No, don't use the lethal chamber. Take him through the upper level to the tunnels. Yes. Yes, I'll issue a pass for the radiation checkpoint.
Into the elevator.
Very well. Why are we going toward the surface? The cages are on the lower levels.
Radiation check.
They've never done that before.
New procedure. Walk.
Halt! You can't go beyond this point. There is radioactivity in the tunnels.
I have a pass from the Director of Emotional Stability for the Third Oblong. Special mission.
I'll open the airlock.
March inside. Turn around.
So this is how they get rid of the imperfects. Now, before you dispose of me...
Yes?
They... Help! Security! Security!
What is it? What's happened?
The prisoner struck me. He escaped into the tunnels.
He won't last long.
Can you go after him?
I could send a robot, but it isn't worth the trouble. There's no way back from the tunnels except through here. The only other direction he can go is toward the surface. And the closer he gets, the hotter the radiation. Now, I think you can consider your prisoner officially dead.
More wine?
No, thank you, Walter.
You look very beautiful, my dear. Very beautiful.
Thank you.
The wedding will be a small affair. The Director of Endocrine Control, the Chief of the Security Guard...
Walter?
Yes?
Was he returned to the cages?
Oh, now, why must you spoil it?
Was he, Walter?
Well, as a matter of fact, there was a little difficulty.
Difficulty?
Yes, you see, XJ-12 escaped.
How? Where?
He struck a guard and ran off into the tunnels.
The tunnels? But that's sure death.
He's free to return any time he chooses. Now, don't become upset, darling.
You planned it, didn't you, Walter?
Stability, darling, stability.
Stability, stability. Here's what I think of stability.
Halt! State your business.
I'm Professor Burton of the Genetic Institute.
You can't go into the tunnels, Professor.
You'll have to let me by. I'm the fiancée of the Director of Emotional Stability.
Oh, I suppose you're after the one who escaped?
Yes.
He's quite dangerous, I understand.
I'm well armed.
Wouldn't it be better to send a robot?
I'm quite capable of handling him. He was my subject.
All right, miss. It's your risk. Checkpoint.
This is the Director of Emotional Stability.
Yes, sir.
If Professor Burton tries to pass the checkpoint, I want her taken into custody.
Professor Burton just passed, sir. She
you
said...
You idiot!
That... But, sir, she said that
I
she had...
I don't care what you said. Stop her. Send robots after her. Get her back.
Yes, sir. At once, sir. Robot control. Checkpoint to robot control. Order out all televocal robots into the tunnels. Have them bring back any humans. This is a first priority order.
Orin! 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 Orin!
Orin!
Orin, where are you? Orin.
Hello?
Orin, it's Lois.
This way, behind the rock. Over here.
Oh, darling, darling.
Lois. Lois, why did you come here? It's suicide.
I had to. Oh, darling, are you all right?
So far?
You've got to turn back. Give yourself up.
They'll kill me.
You can't stay here. The radiation is plus four at this point. It gets worse as you approach the surface.
Lois, darling, go back.
What will you do?
I'm going ahead.
But you can't.
I can. I'm going to the surface.
It's certain death. Not even the robots can survive it.
Well, at least I'll be the first human in 1,100 years to see what the surface of the Earth looks like.
Come back with me.
No, Lois.
Then I'm going with you.
Lois.
Don't try to stop me, darling. There's nothing to go back to now. Nothing but Walter and emotional stability.
You really want to come with me?
Yes.
You know what it means?
I don't care.
My mother used to believe there was a life after death. A place called heaven.
We'll believe it, too.
Oh, no, Lois, I can't let you go.
Orin, I love you. See, I know how to say it now.
Say it again.
Orin, I love you.
What is that?
It sounds like... Orin, it's a robot patrol. They're looking for us.
All right, come on. This way.
Orin, wait.
It can't be much farther, darling.
The robots. They're coming. I can see their lights now.
Listen, they stopped.
The lights are swinging round. Orin, they see us.
Come on. Look, Lois, look ahead. You can see the lights reflecting from something.
It looks like a lead door.
Yes. Come on through. Oh, there must be some way to close it. Oh, yes, here.
Let me help.
Well, they won't get through that. It's solid lead.
Orin, I feel so strange. Where are we?
I don't know.
Look, up there, a huge round light.
Lois.
Yes, Orin.
Lois, that's Luna, the moon. We're on the surface.
How strange and red everything looks. How it glows.
It's the radioactivity.
Quiet and peaceful. And deadly.
Oh, hush, darling, hush. Sit here and rest a while.
Put your arm around me.
Yes.
Orin. Orin, I'm afraid. Orin, we're going to die.
Don't think about that. Just think about us. Alone. The first humans to stand on the surface of Earth in 1,100 years. That door must have been placed there by the last handful of survivors who went underground after the atomic wars.
And those other lights, the small ones... They must be stars. Orin, I'm so tired.
Go to sleep, darling. Put your head on my shoulder and sleep.
Hold me, Orin. Hold me very close. Orin.
Hmm?
Orin, wake up.
Hmm? What?
Look, what? It's light. The whole universe is light. Oh, Orin, how beautiful. Look.
This must be the heaven my mother talked about.
See the plants? All green and fresh. And the birds. How strange they look.
Lois, this isn't heaven.
But we must be dead, Orin. We should be dead. The radiation.
By all the laws of nature, yes.
By all the laws of nature. Orin.
Mm.
Orin, we're not dead. This is Earth. And we're alive. We're not going to die.
But Lois, the radiation, it's present. You can see its effects.
Orin, did you ever hear of geotropism?
I'm not a geneticist.
There is a natural law of adaptation by which an organism will try to adjust itself to its environment by changing. It's called geotropism, don't you see?
No.
All these generations we've been bombarded by radiation filtering down through the earth. Each successive generation must have inherited some degree of immunity.
But...
can't hurt us. Don't you see? We're immune. We're probably the first generation to inherit sufficient immunity.
Well, darling, if that's true, then we can transmit that immunity. We can pass it along to our children.
And they to their children. Come on. We'll have to find food and water.
The practical wife. Wait a minute.
What are you doing with that rock?
I want to scratch something on the outside of this lead door.
Lois and Orin.
4195 A.D.
Hello, tomorrow.
You have just heard X-1, presented by the National Broadcasting Company in cooperation with Street and Smith, publishers of Astounding Science Fiction. Your announcer, Fred Collins. X-1 was an NBC Radio Network production.
Listening to Ricky Jin's Old Time Radio. Join us again next week at the same time on the mighty KONR. Don't forget to play What Will Mrs. Thompson Say at LGAB.com. Now, stay tuned for the Sasquatch Report.